Heavenly Father, again we come to you, asking you, Lord,
to open our hearts and our minds as we hear your word, that we realize you arose from the dead and you are Savior of the world. You're the one that came, died for our sins, and has given us salvation. Help us, O Lord, as we hear your words, that we will take them to heart, and Lord, that you will live forever in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. Stand at the reading of God's holy word. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Women, do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed, is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of scripture, we see he is risen. It is so. He is not in the grave, but he is risen from the dead. And we have sang about that, and we know it's true. And I put this to you, that if you know it's true, are you willing in your heart and your life to say, yes, it is true, Christ has risen from the dead. And rising from the dead, he is my Lord and my Savior, because I give my life completely to him. And I serve him with gladness. I have him first in all things. Or do you say, I know it's true, but I don't know that I'm going to give my life over because there's so many things I want to do. You know, we had the Monday-Thursday celebration of the Lord's Supper. And after that, Judas Iscariot went out and had betrayed Christ, and he did it for 30 pieces of silver. And he was looking at his physical income, and he wanted a physical thing, and he wanted to have his own way and set up his own 401k, if you want to call it that. And then when he realized, he says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he says, "I will lead you to where he is going to be, and I will kiss him, and you will know he is Jesus, the one that you want to do away with." And so when Jesus had done the Lord's Supper, and he told the disciples that were left, because Judas Iscariot had already left, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he left all the disciples except Peter, James, and John. He took them with him and went a little further. And then he told them, "You stay here. I'm going to go a little further out and pray. And you pray too." And he prayed for 1 hour, and he come back, and he found Peter, James, and John sleeping. And he says, "Oh, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Could you not pray for 1 hour?" He says, "I'll go and pray again, and you are to pray." And he came back, and he seen they were sleeping, and he went and prayed again, and he came back, and he says, "Sleep on, because now the Son of God is betrayed into the hands of men, evil men. And then he woke them up and he says, let us go, because as it is fulfilled, so must the Son of Man be betrayed. And as they were walking out, the chief priest and Judas Iscariot come, and Judas says, Hail, Master, and he kisses Jesus, and Jesus says to him, Do you betray the Son of God with a kiss? And Judas, I'm sure, went back, and he didn't know what to say, and he told the high priest, he says, I've preached in the temple, and you never arrested me, and you never came after me. Now you come out with staves and clubs as if you're going to take a criminal in. And they took him to the high priest, and they tried to find witnesses against him, and they found none. And finally, someone came, and they says, he says he's the Son of God, and he's blaspheming. And the high priest tears his clothes and says, we don't need any more witnesses. We will do away with him. We want him crucified. And so we see the same people that were laying palm branches just a few days before, now we're calling for Christ to be crucified. And they wanted him dead and out of the way. And then we see, too, that as he went before Pilate, Pilate says, I find no fault in him. And they sent him to Herod, and Herod found no fault in him. And Pilate says he'll wash his hands of the innocence of this man and the innocence of his blood. And the Jews at that time, they says, let it be upon us and our children. And God has punished Israel and scattered them throughout the world, but they have never lost their identity. They are still the chosen people of God, and they still have that covenant that God made with Abraham, that they are his chosen people. And they have gone throughout the world, and now they're being drawn back. And God says, I will save a remnant of these people. And we see in the Holocaust during the Second World War, where Hitler killed something like 6 million Jews. And there was many more killed. And we see even today that just last week in Kenya, in a college, there was 150 Christians killed because they would not turn Islam or Muslim. And they separated them, and it showed it on TV, and they showed them putting the Muslims over here and the Christians here, and they killed these 150 students that said they were Christian. This is what Satan is doing. Satan is trying to do everything he can, and yet Christ died on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And dying on the cross of Calvary, he did it willingly because God had sent him into the world to reconcile the world back to him through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Jesus says, if I am lifted up from the earth, which he was on the cross, I will draw all people unto myself, and they will be then having again that they can come boldly to the throne of grace and asking for forgiveness of sins and asking God to not only forgive them, but to be their Lord and their Savior and to be number one in their lives. And so we see when Mary and them are coming to the tomb this early morning, they're wondering who's going to roll the stone back. And there was an earthquake, and it probably happened shortly before they got to the tomb. And they come and they see the tomb, the stone rolled back. The soldiers were laying there as dead men because of the fear that was upon them when they seen the angels. The angel says, we know who you seek. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was dead, and now he has risen and he's living. Come and see where he laid. And they seen the cloth, and they seen the napkin that covered his face. And then the angel tells them, go and tell his disciples that he will meet them in Galilee like he told them before he was crucified, and that he would see them there. And so they hurry away. And on their hurrying, Jesus meets the women, and he says, he calls them by name, and they realize he is Jesus, the risen Savior of the world. They realized that he had fulfilled what he had said he was going to do. Remember that the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish people, they had been condemning Christ, and he says, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. And they were thinking of the temple that Solomon built, and they says, you know, it took 46 years to build this temple. How can you do it in 3 days? But Christ was talking about the spiritual temple, that he would be raised from the dead, and that he would conquer death, and he would conquer Satan, and he would conquer sin and the grave and everything else. And he says, you know, I got the keys of hell, and I got the keys of death. You know, I was, I am, and I always will be. And I am the one that died for your sins and for mine. Talking about myself here, that he died for all of our sins. And he did this willingly because they had planned the salvation message and they had planned the way of salvation long before the world even began. And yet we see Christ doing all of this. Then he prays, he says, Lord, if it is your will, remove this cup, because he could see the physical torment that he would go through. He would realize that he would be hanging on the cross, and that from noonday till 3 o'clock, it would be completely dark, because the sins of the whole world, the past sins, the present, and the future sins of the world was poured out on top of Christ, and he was alone. And God turned his back on him at that time, because God says, I will not tolerate sin, and I will not tolerate the people who want to keep on sinning. And we see in Romans that Christ, or God, Paul has told us, he says, God so loved us that even while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ into the world to die for our sins. And it's on that death that he rose again the third day, and these women came and they seen that resurrection and that he was alive. They went and told the disciples, and Peter and John comes running, and John, the faster runner, he stops and looks in. Peter goes into the tomb and finds the cloth laid there. And they find a napkin on the face over in a different corner. And it says, John believed. And when Jesus rose from the dead, we have proof he rose, because he talked to the women. And the soldiers came to the high priest and they told him what happened. The high priest knew what happened. And yet they talked the soldiers into lying and gave them big sums of money to try and make up a story. And then the question would come, if Christ has risen in your heart, and if Christ is living in your heart, that he's number one in your life, would you be willing to die for someone if it was a lie? And the answer more than likely is no. We would not do that. And they wanted to make people think the disciples had stolen his body away. Yet all of the disciples except John died a martyr's death for Christ, because they believed and they knew that Christ had rose again from the dead, and he had showed himself to them many times over the next few days before he went into heaven. And they knew he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they knew he was the one that they had to worship first and have him first in all of their lives. We see Judas Iscariot, what did he do? He brings the money back and he throws it on the floor. And the high priest says, we can't use blood money. So they bought a potter's field in which to bury people that couldn't bury themselves. And he was repentant and sorry for what he did. But he never asked for forgiveness. Instead, he went out and hung himself because of what he had done. And Jesus had said at the Last Supper, it would be better for him had he never been born than to take and betray Jesus Christ himself. And yet, we see this is what happened. It's recorded in history, in the Bible, and it's recorded so we can see it, we can read it, and we can know that Jesus is risen from the dead. We see the soldiers proved it. We see the high priest knew about it. We see the people on the road to Emmaus knew about it. And Jesus even met with Peter, and he met with the 11 disciples, and he met with up to 500 more at different times, showing that he was living. He did not show himself to those who refused to believe, because the blinders are on their heart and on their eyes and on their heart, and they will not accept that Christ rose from the dead. And Jesus said, when he was living here on earth, he says, your words will either justify you or they will condemn you. And if they justify you, it's because you know and you proclaim Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. They will condemn you if you do not acknowledge him. And he says, if you acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before God and his holy angels. And he says, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before God and his holy angels. And in judgment day, when it comes, everything is going to be rewarded, all your works. And it says another book is opened, and that's the book of life. And if your name is not blotted out of the book of life, you will be given eternal life in heaven. But if your name is blotted out because you have refused to live for Christ and that you have refused to admit that Jesus rose that first day of the week and he has risen in your heart, in your life, that he's first in what you do or what you say or how you live, then your name would be blotted out of that book of life. Christ has warned us time and again, and he came on the first day and he showed himself many times and many different ways to the disciples and to the other believers, and how he showed that he was risen from the dead so that he could take and give us salvation because we believe in his name and in his word. As we come to Christ and as we call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I want you for my Lord and Savior. I want you to be risen in my life and I want you to be first. Help me to be your servant. I am a sinner forgiven by grace. I am a sinner that has faith in you, that through this faith, it's because the Holy Spirit has enlightened my soul and showed me that you rose again for my sins and the sins of the whole world, and that I want to serve you and that I want you to get all the glory and all the grace because I am only your servant doing what you want me to do, and that's to let people know that you have risen from the dead, that you have come back to life, and that you have had power over Satan, over death, over the grave, and that you will one day call us out of this world, either as a rapture or individually, and we will be changed and be immortal just like you are. And Paul tells us that when Christ comes with the trumpet of the archangel, all the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air, and we will be changed from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible. And he says, we don't know how we will be changed, but we will be changed so we will be like Christ, and that we will be with him forever. You see, Jesus wants us there, and God has said, it does not please me to see any unbeliever die. Yet they die in their own sins because they refuse to accept Christ, and because they refuse to accept that Jesus is the one that came, died on Calvary's cross for you and for me. And so we can see this so very plainly, and this is why he rose again on that morning on the third day. And we can see that he did it to save you and me from sin and from the wiles of the devil, and that we can know the closer we draw to God, the closer he draws to us, and that Satan will flee from us as we resist the devil and his works. And we see in Revelation where Jesus says, I have overcome death, I have overcome Satan, and I have taken the keys of hell and of death away from Satan himself, and I have them, and I will rule the world forever and forever, and there will be no end to my kingdom when I have it completely set up. We see in the world today many, many different things on, and we see many, many people that are saying that Christianity and church makes no difference because they are so taken up in the things of the world, and they are going so much with what's going on in the world, they refuse to stop and read Scripture. They refuse to stop and pray even for themselves and to ask God to enlighten their minds and their hearts to the fact that Jesus is the one that forgives us of all our sins. And Jesus is the one that was sent into the world to die for our sin in the first place. And so we see as we go forward that we can see Christ in us as we have Christ first in our lives, that we should live for him, and that we should, if it's called upon us to die for him, we would be willing to do that. And we see that many Christians throughout the world that are being killed because they have Christ, and they will not denounce him or they will not reject him as their personal Lord and Savior. So how the thing comes and the question comes to us, are we willing to stand up even with our lives for Christ? Whether it's at work or play or whatever we're doing in our own lives, that Christ is number one, that Christ is the one that we turn to when things seems to be going rough in our lives, and we start taking our eyes off of the Lord, we should come back and say, Lord, help me through these hard times. And give me that peace which passes all understanding that only you can give, and that as I live my life, that I can have this peace and this understanding, and that we find it's by grace alone and God's mercy alone that we have this peace, that we can have it through our faith, and that we're saved because of our belief and our faith in Christ. It's not of our works. It's what Christ has done for us, and how he has helped us to live for him day by day, and that we can see then and we can proclaim, he is risen. Indeed, he has risen. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you know, as we go on and we can sing these things and we can lift our spirits high because the Holy Spirit will enlighten us as we read and as we communicate in prayer with God every day. And it's necessary for us to feed our soul and to feed on the Word of God, that this is the bread that Christ has given us. It is the water and the blood that we drink daily as we read and pray and have communications with Christ, that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us each step of the way, that we will do his will. Sometimes it may seem difficult, and yet we know God will lead us in such a way that we will be able to praise him. And as the curtain was torn in two from the top to the bottom, it shows we can come boldly to the throne of grace in prayer and in our request to God to help us as we go through this life to proclaim his word and to proclaim his resurrection, to proclaim the salvation that he has given us each step of the way. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we leave this place, you will be with us and help us, Lord, to serve you. Help us to go forward in your word, and that your word would live in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.